Hogstein.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to the Hogsty. We are in the post-combine glow of the NFL season as the free agent market rapidly approaches now. What are we? We're, I think, 9 days away from free agency?
Well, yeah, the legal tampering period starts on the 11th. Actually, and free agency starts on the 13th.
Yeah.
It's all next
okay,
week.
Okay, so even less than nine. That's very exciting.
Even Alex can do some math.
Yes.
Not a lot, but...
Not a lot. At least
he knows a power button on a computer.
Yes. That's another story. That's a story that I was telling the guys.
Would you care to tell it on the air and make fun of a person who with whom you work?
No. I'd rather not get...
Would you like to name names?
I don't know the guy's name. It was just a random facility manager who didn't know that you need to turn power on to things for 3 years.
That seems to be a pretty basic step.
It really is.
I'll tell you what, there are guys in every industry I've gone to I run into that all the time. It's actually rather comical, really. But go ahead, Alex. Sorry.
Well, I'll give you another one, something I've run into a lot in my AV world, which is a little different from your more engineering-esque world, Dave, I think. People who don't understand how microphones work. And I don't mean like the technical, like there's a ribbon inside a microphone that vibrates and that's what's capturing my voice and sending it out to all these fine people. I'm talking about not understanding that if I take this microphone out of one room where it works and go down the hall to another room, it doesn't work. Because
are these wireless microphones? Or are they cool?
They are wireless, but Steve, there's no speakers in the other space.
I understand. Yes. I get it.
I've had people multiple times in my career grab the microphone and say, I'm going to bring this to the cafeteria and use it. And I'm like, for what?
Well, I had almost had an IT emergency this week. This will be horribly exciting for everybody.
Oh, no.
So somebody legitimately sent me a SharePoint file that I needed to access. And I knew it was legitimate from the person. I was expecting it and all that. And so I just double clicked on it. And it came up and said, enter your Microsoft password. Nothing's ever asked me that before for this SharePoint thing. And so I entered my employee email and password, and then it didn't work, surprisingly enough. Mm-hmm. And said, you have to change your password because you've tried it 3 times and it's locked. And so we're going to send an email to this rescue email, which is some random email I've never heard of at all. So I thought, wow, this is odd. And this hacker seems to have gotten by my employer's extensive security system. So I went and got the IT guy, left it all there, said, you need to come down to my office right now, which he
did.
And
Steve has a bad history with his IT guy, folks. That might shock you.
No. I don't have a bad history with them. They always flirt with the women in the building instead of actually doing IT. But he was there. He came down and looked at it and decided I was fine. So I said, okay, whatever. You're in charge. So that was exciting. I was almost controlled by some Russian hacker or something.
Right. I mean, they really want to get in. I mean, well, in your industry, that is an actual concern.
Industry would be a concern even if someone else not in the legal department gets a hold of my stuff, much less some random, person in India or somewhere.
Yeah, exactly. We won't get into – I mean, people broadly know what you do.
I'm in Houston. I'm an attorney. I can't say more than that.
Yes. People broadly know that. Hackers attacking attorneys is not good. So, you don't want that.
That's just a horribly exciting thing to happen. Welcome to the
Hogsty,
folks. I will
never get over the fact that you have the one IT guy in America who apparently is not afraid to flirt with women.
Yeah, because, see, one of them doesn't, but the other one does all the time. And he's like that's life, for him every day.
Most of the IT guys I deal with would be in the ooh cooties phase.
See, and some of them have caught on, and it's like the stronger ones,
Yeah.
Well, just throw them out, you know, get out, you know, and they'll be done with them. But there's a group of them that buy into his nonsense.
The stronger women.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, the stronger women will just be, yeah, get out.
Yeah.
You know, but the ones that don't have that kind of personality will get sucked into his stuff, you know.
Stronger IT guys is an oxymoron. So
yeah. It is a bit, yeah, it is a bit contradictory.
I make fun, but, you know, some of my best friends are IT guys, I tell you.
I'm shocked. I'm stunned.
Yeah.
Most of them aren't, shall we say, well-adjusted people.
No. Well, you work with computers for a reason, you know.
Listen, lawyers are a bunch of eggheads, so, I mean, I get it.
And just think, I came one decision away from being a fellow IT guy, but more of a network security analyst.
Sure.
Is that what your Army specialty was going to, or your Air Force specialty?
No, it was not. No, when I came out of the military, I went and started getting my certificates through Cisco Network. I actually went through a place called Chubb for a little bit to get my certificates and everything. And there was a job offer I had. It was going to pay me less than what I was doing as a crane and trailer mechanic at that time before I went into where I'm at now.
Mm-hmm.
But it was the ideal job that I would have loved to have gone to, but I just couldn't have made that move at that time financially. I had to take that pay cut. Then I got the job I have today, and I'm like, you know what? We'll stay right where I'm at.
Yeah.
You don't strike me as an IT nerd, Dave.
That's probably why I kept going the way I kept going.
Yeah. I mean, look, I work with cybersecurity people. Dave does not strike me as one cybersecurity guy either.
Do I strike you as a cybersecurity expert?
No. No, you might be in corporate for the cybersecurity experts.
Yeah.
Your kind of personality and demeanor of, you know, very dry. You know, me? Analytical.
I'm not that way. I'm an emotional person. I'm an emotional human being. I have feelings like everybody. Yeah. Well, alternatively, I was born without human emotion. One of those two things is true. Possibly.
Possibly.
Steve is the living incarnation of Sheldon from Big Bang Theory.
I've never seen this show. I've been told this more than once.
Have you really?
Yes.
And not by me. That's the scary part.
No, I've been told this. But I've never seen this show, Big Bang Theory.
You would hate it. You would hate the show.
Why would I hate the show?
It's nerds, pop culture reference.
I would
stupidity.
Hate that show.
Yeah.
But Sheldon, this might be your biography, though.
Yeah.
No, he's my biography. No. I'm not his biography. He's my Play biography. Person. Yeah. I'm better than him. Whoever he is, I'm better than him. He cheated.
Fun fact,
me.
The actor who plays him from Houston, my wife, met him many times at various clubs when she was growing up in Houston. So
is this guy like a nerdy dude who fell into this show, or is he just like a club going drug snorting actor? So
a nerd. Yeah. He's not. He's like a serious actor. It's just the character, you know. Like most of them, you know. Most of your action heroes, by the way, also serious actors who are, you know, not tough. Like in real life, most of them
are. I think like Vin Diesel falls into that category, for example.
Vin Diesel, huge nerd.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. He's not really like a go beat
D&D
guy.
Player, if you didn't know that.
I did know that. I did know he was a big nerd. Yeah.
Yeah. Huge nerd. He did Street Sharks toy line stuff. If you want to Google that, folks.
Like, I don't think Bruce Willis in real life was like a real beat him up guy. He was an actor. You know.
They all are. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Schwarzenegger. I mean. Okay, powerlifter. I'll grant you that. Yeah.
Sure.
And but, I was actually surprised at Steven Seagal. Everything that he did in terms of what he did in martial arts, that's actually what he was in real life.
Yeah,
he
he's another one.
A pretty bad dude.
Yeah,
for
he's
a while,
legit.
He was.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, for a while, right.
Yeah.
I think he's now, he just abuses donuts more than anything now.
Yeah.
Can you blame him?
Google some Steven Seagal, like behind the scenes stuff. It's hilarious to hear some of the stories about him behind the scenes. He apparently tried to pick a fight with, I think, Jean-Claude Van Damme at one point. So, it was either him or Bruce, not Bruce Lee. That would have been.
But different. Nobody, that would never go well. And
no.
He's also dead.
No. All right. We've talked about nonsense for enough time, haven't we?
Oh, I'm sorry. We're doing a show here. I forgot.
We are doing a show. we're not in pre-show mode. We've just now done 10 minutes of nonsense.
Welcome to the Hogsty, kids.
Yeah, welcome to the Hogsty. Let's reset. 3, 2, 1. Hey everybody, welcome to the Hog Side. I didn't do the hand sign, Steve.
You did do this.
I kind of brought my hand
up.
Oh,
you
kind of
went like that, almost like you.
I'm flashing gang there. Signs again, is what Alex was referring to.
Yes. All right. So a lot of stuff has happened with the Washington team of football playing that I still won't say their stupid freaking name. It just doesn't roll off the tongue.
It will not.
They've made a couple big roster moves already, even though free agency hasn't officially begun. Obviously we got to talk about some position group free agency stuff, and so let's get into it. The big moves, they made three big cuts to this roster. I did not see one of these coming. You guys will probably know which one. And I got a lot of hate for saying this, by the way. I was shocked when they released Charles Leno. I thought Leno was arguably the team's best lineman last year. He wasn't the most high-end production, but he was the most reliable. He never really just stunk out loud like some people seem to think. But man, when I said that it was a mistake to release Leno, I think we got more negative reaction from that than anything Steve's posted in a while.
Oh, see, I gotta make up for things then. Look, okay, so Leno,
yeah,
it wasn't quote good. You know, if you wanted to grade him on a scale of A to F, as in terms of starter, I'd grade him as a C.
Sure.
You know, he was kind of average star. They can do more. The problem with a guy like Charles Leno is then you're talking about an economic efficiency issue here. Like, what is he producing compared to what is he making?
Right.
You know, so I was a little surprised, like you were. You know, I would start with like Andrew Wiley if you're going to really start releasing linemen, you know, for example.
Yeah.
I was a bit surprised, but you know, look, it's a new administration, you know, and we said last week, you know, when we were talking about this, you know, you need, if you're going to have a new quarterback, you need to have a new left tackle. And clearly they believe that.
Yeah. I was always of the, like, you don't let him go till you got something else on the roster worth, you know,
I hear starting. You, but I mean, alternatively, it would be less fly without a net.
That's true. And also, we didn't know he had a hip injury that was getting surgery.
That was the first I'd seen of it, was right. That. Yeah. And so it might have been that maybe they knew that it was just done or over. He wasn't going to be able to play
sure.
6 months from now. Maybe that might have been it, and they didn't have a choice. Either way, ultimately, it was going to happen, whether this year or next year, he was going to be gone one way or the other.
I think the biggest pushback you got from that, Alex, if I recall correctly, was the fact that a lot of people, and I tend to agree too, is that Cosme was probably our best lineman last year. And I think people thought you were overlooking Cosme, but mm-hmm. I think the way that they read what you were talking about, that's not what you were implying in my mind, because you were looking at Leno as our left tackle and a guy kind of solidify that outside end where Cosme mm-hmm. is more of a bookend guy. Cosme failed on the outside, well on the interior side, and Leno, we have nothing to replace Leno right now, like you said, Steve. So it's like, I mean, unless they're aiming for Tyron Smith for like a 1 year type of deal, even though he hasn't completed a full season in a long time.
They could do Tyron Smith if they wanted to.
My other thing with Cosme, real quick, is just the reliability question. You know, he's missed a bunch of games last few years. I think he did play in all 17 games last year, but
right.
You know, like, he's had health issues, so like that's a big flag for me. And I honestly don't think he played much better at guard than he did at tackle, if I'm being
honest. I think Sam Cosme's a beneficiary of a lot of groupthink.
Sure.
You know, a couple of people said Cosme's the greatest, mm-hmm. you know, the best lineman mm-hmm. they have, and now all of a sudden he's good. He isn't good. You know, I think he's been decent, and he certainly found kind of a home maybe a little bit. But the guy isn't a pro bowler. He's not going to be a pro bowler. He's not that good.
No.
You know, he's not worthy of, like, going the extra mile to keep the guy.
In your grade scale, he's a C+.
Yeah.
Maybe. And he's got some positive traits. He's very agile. He can get into that second level in the run game if they would ever run the ball. You know, he's got some good stuff to build around. Sure.
Right.
Would anybody like to hear the current offensive tackle group now that Charles Leno's gone? Of course you do. So
you have a cricket sound effect?
No, well, there's guys on the roster.
Okay.
Let's see if one of these are a future Hall of Famer, shall we, kids? Okay. Alex Akinbulu, who was on the practice squad.
Mm-hmm. Can you spell that for the audience?
A-K-I-N-B-U-L-U.
Yes, oh, I can. It's very literal.
Akinbulu, yeah. Wow.
I don't know if that's how to pronounce it. That's how I pronounce it.
Yeah.
Sounds okay. Good to me.
Mason Brooks, yep. Brand new. Brayden Daniels, who was also on the practice squad. Trent Scott, who sucks. Andrew Wiley, who sucks even worse. That's the tackle group.
Right.
And that's the entire tackle group.
On the roster is probably moving to guard, everyone says. So
who's that?
Wiley, they're probably moving to guard if he stays.
Well, okay, so let's talk about Andrew Wiley, shall we? So he has a three-year contract, which for the math deficient runs through 2025, was $24 million with 50% guaranteed signing. And so the net result of that, which is a lot, that was a stupid signing. Net result of that is he's got a $9.4 million cap in 2024, but he's got $7.8 million in dead cap. So they could, and that's pre-June 1. So they could get rid of him at a savings. And then next year, there's no way he's going to remain next year. He's got $10.4 million cap at $2.6 million dead cap. So they ought to cut Andrew Wiley today, you know, if you ask me.
Mm-hmm. I mean, Steve, he could bounce back and have a Pro Bowl season. I don't want to count our chickens.
I'm going to go ahead and count the chickens and say
okay,
that does not happen.
Okay, all right. Is the chicken like zero chickens because he lays an egg all the time, Andrew Wiley?
If you want to go down that analogy, sure. I was going to go to my
standard. I'm going to keep with the chicken. It's a weird day, you know.
I was going to go to my standard, the super mallow can maybe might knock on my door, you know, analogy. Yeah. I go to. Yeah. But we can do your chicken thing. That's fine.
But we'll do the chicken dance. yeah.
See, now, my only problem with that whole theory of Wiley going into guard is, one, you got two players on the roster in Mason Brooks and Brayden Daniels, who has early always been guards. Projected – have been more projected as guards, mm-hmm. even though they're drafted as tackles. And let's be honest. I mean, right now their ceiling is probably Wiley's floor right now. Yeah. Or I'm sorry. No, I mean, their floor is Wiley's ceiling is what I meant to say right now. Wiley's not very good, but you go beyond that. You have guys that's going to be available to you, like a Graham Barton out of Duke, Christian Hayes out of Connecticut, even Zach Zittner and Javion Cohen in the draft in the late second round are guys that you want to plug into that guard spot. Mm-hmm. Guys that are far before they even touch the NFL field, in my opinion, are better assets than Wiley. I just hope they're not considering that move with Wiley. I'm hoping he's a depth guy. You keep him there, and that's all he's going to end up being.
I cannot emphasize enough for the sycophants out there just how bad, right at this moment, Washington's entire offensive line is.
Yeah.
It has got to be the worst group right now today. It's got to be the worst group in the NFL. There's no way there's a team that has a worse offensive line group than they do right now.
Well, their overall rating was 31 in the league. I can't remember which team was at 32. But the separation between them and 32 wasn't by much.
I'd love to see whoever 32, see who's better in this group, or worse in this group, rather.
Well, I have to look it up again, but yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think in the end, there was one other team that gave up more sacks overall, but they had like three quarterbacks.
I'm also talking now, because to your point, you can, if you want to argue about Sam Cosmi versus Leno or whatever, fine, cool. But he was one of maybe two actual starter worthy, even if they're not that great starter worthy players. Now one of them's gone.
Right.
They couldn't. I don't know if they could play a football game today if they had to play today.
No, they couldn't. They could not feel.
Not without getting the unstated quarterback killed, at least.
Yeah.
Right.
They'll just run the triple option the whole game. You know, that way the quarterback doesn't touch the ball. Yeah. It's going to be a lot of work. I mean, Dave, to your point about the draft, yeah, this is a good line draft, and there's only maybe three true starting left tackles or four starting left tackles that all go in the first round.
Yeah,
but
and early too. Yeah,
and early. But in terms of guards, in terms of right tackles, guys who will kind of kick in from outside to inside, you could easily find multiple starters in the second and third round this year.
Right.
I feel good about this draft for this little.
Well, this does beg the question, though. I mean, you got to ask it. I have a strong opinion about it, but if you were Washington, would you forego quarterback with the second overall pick and pick the top left tackle in the draft instead? I definitely would not. Absolutely would not, unless they just don't think one of these quarterbacks is worthy. I would definitely pick quarterback, but I know there's a lot of people out there who would, you know,
There's a segment of the fan base who are in the trade back and draft Jawalt later or
something. That's crazy, by the way. When you have the number two overall pick, you're freaking nuts if you trade it out, I think.
Well,
take the pick, find the franchise changing player that you can get in the top five.
I agree with you. That said, if they didn't like any of these quarterbacks, and I'm not saying they do. But
we'll get to quarterbacks. I mean, yeah, it's a hypothetical.
Yeah, hypothetically, if they don't like the quarterbacks and someone offers you like a silly, here's three first round picks for year one kind of deal, that gets pretty tempting. You know?
No, it's not. I mean, no. If there's a game changing player, take him.
See, right now, the top three left tackles in this draft, when you're looking at Joe Alt, Fasciano, and Fuaga, those three, one of those three guys are going to be there into the mid to late top 10 area of the picks. If you find a team there like Atlanta who wants to jump up and you acquire more assets to address more of the offensive line later on, to me, that's the only way you justify not taking a quarterback at number two, because you have three franchise tackles right there, left-hand side. Any one of those three will be, all will be going top four most likely anyway. But the other two, one of those two are going to be available inside the 10. If you move back, get a couple more day two picks or something like that, and you can land that, that's the only way you could justify not taking a quarterback.
I'm not doing that for a day two pick. That's my thing.
I'm saying multiple. You'll get multiple and probably even a future first in return for that.
There's no way I would do that. There's just no way. Well, I wouldn't.
Realistically, given that there are three very good quarterbacks, I wouldn't. No. I think I wouldn't.
I wouldn't move back either. I'd definitely take a quarterback. But I'm just saying.
You are in a good class to get a franchise quarterback. Do it.
Let me ask you, is there still a group out there that thinks Sam Howell is like the future?
Probably. Yes.
I mean, on the Twitter yes. feeds and all that.
Oh, yes.
You guys are crazy if you think that. That's just absolutely nuts.
Steve, the Sam Howell segment of the fan base, to use a political analogy, this is the Green Party, the Libertarian Party at this point. You know,
the
like
Crusaders, you mean?
Yeah. Yeah. These are people who are idealists. And, you know, they're not going to, you know, be realistic about what's going on.
Ralph Nader is going to be the president.
Right. Right.
That group.
Yes.
Yes.
Wasn't that you?
I mean, I've had dinner with him many times. Yes. I may have made a campaign commercial or two for him. Yes. But you know, the difference there is we knew we weren't going to win. It was more about getting out a message. I don't know.
That's fair enough. But there's a group of people out there, to your point, who are, you know,
with Sam Howell, that's who they are. Yes.
And you people have lost your mind.
Right. They're very loud.
And I'll be honest, when it comes to Sam Howell, for me, I think I'm hoping the team does him a service and moves him somewhere to like he can sit behind like an Aaron Rodgers or somebody like that. Mm-hmm. He could sit there for, you know, have a full year or two. Could, you know, kind of get all the bumps and bruises away from Eric Bieniemy's like 85% passing clip offense that he had. And, you know, I think he's good enough to play in the league and be good enough to be a franchise quarterback. I have no idea. But he could definitely play in the league.
Oh, yeah.
Get him somewhere. I mean, get him to another team. Draft our quarterback. Get a veteran in here and move forward.
There you go.
I mean, when it comes to that part, yeah, I'm still in the I would keep Howell just because he's a cheap contract.
Sure. You know,
like
I
a cheap quarterback
that.
Is, even as a backup, is worth keeping around because I'd rather give him $1 million than Jacoby $8 million, you know? That's just kind of my thinking in terms of money ball when it comes to building a team.
Well, I mean, if you're going to have a rookie first-round pick, I think you need to have a solid veteran behind him. That isn't Howell. That's the problem. That was the theory would be – one, you need to have somebody who can step in and play as a result of injury. But two, you need the mentor in the room, you know. And Green Bay for the example. Green Bay, didn't we mention this last time? Three times they brought a young Brett Favre in after he'd sat for a year. Sent out another team in Atlanta. But they brought Rodgers in and made him sit behind behind Favre. Then they brought Jordan Love in and made him sit behind Rodgers. You know, and look what has happened. Look how well it's worked out for them. Washington, on the other hand, you know, does things like, you know, draft Dwayne Haskins and not play him, then play him and get rid of him. You know, they let RG3 play on a busted knee. And, you know, it's just ridiculous. You know, it also depends on how well you, the quality of the organization that handles these quarterbacks. You can draft Caleb Williams or whoever you want, but if the team does not handle him right, it's going to fail. Simple as that.
Yeah. I understand having a veteran in front of him or with him in the building. I just don't want to see them spend big money.
They have big money.
I know they have big money. But, you know.
I'm not saying spend $25 million a year, but you can spend $8 million on a backup.
I mean, or maybe $1.2 million on Russell Wilson, since that's all he's going to cost, apparently.
I don't know.
No, Russell Wilson.
Bring Russell Wilson in.
I said that intentionally, just to, like, there's bad ideas we could have here. You know?
Russell Wilson needs a very specific offense and a very specific organization to succeed.
Mm-hmm.
That's definitely not Cliff Kingsbury.
No. Right.
At least I don't want to find out.
No.
I agree.
By the way, since you mentioned it, do you remember who the quarterback is in front of Brett Favre when he was in Atlanta?
Oh, my God. Is it Don Majakowski? No, that was
Green Bay.
Yeah. No, who was it?
In Atlanta,
Chris Miller, quarterback for the Falcons for almost 10 years.
Yep.
I wouldn't have gotten that one.
Yeah. I wouldn't have either because it was 1991. I was 8. But, since you mentioned it, I was like, who did they have that they were like, nah, this Favre guy, let's get rid of him.
Do you think there's a group of Chris Miller fans out there who are still to this day all gaga over Chris Miller?
I mean, they're called his kids, probably.
Yeah, probably. Mr. and Mrs. Miller, perhaps, you know, if they're still with us.
I mean, he had a good career, so I'm not going to knock it, but.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm just making fun of him. It's all right.
Yeah, of course.
I'm just babbling because we have time to fill.
Yes, we do have time to fill. Speaking of having time to fill, you know who's going to have a lot of time to fill now? Logan Thomas. Logan Thomas also released by the team. So, interesting couple years he had here. You know, there was one point where I think we all kind of thought we had something there in terms of having that kind of hybrid receiver, big body, tight end guy to replace Jordan Reed with him. But, you know, injuries caught up with him quick. And I mean, he had a decent year last year, but given the salary cap and, you know, how much cap room they got from releasing him, it made sense.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
Why did they get rid of 32-year-old Logan Thomas to bring in 34-year-old Zach Ertz?
I look at that because he's familiar with Cliff's system, and he's a guy that can help mentor a younger tight end that they may not draft and can help get all the offense going the way it needs to go. I mean, he's almost a camp body in a way because he's not going to make a massive impact on the field, but adds decent depth at $5 million. I mean,
Didn't they already have Zach Ertz in the form of Logan Thomas? Well, I mean, is it really going to be that
not
much
in terms
of
experience in the offense? No. Yeah. And that's, you know, every offensive coordinator is going to want some kind of a comfort zone. It's like that was Andrew Wiley for Eric Bieniemy, unfortunately.
I mean, that's fair, I guess. But I look at Zach Ertz's career and I see that he hasn't played more than 10 games in 2 years.
Right.
A season. He played 7 games last year, 10 games the year before. Last year he had an injury. I'm sure he did.
Well, it was 2 years ago. He tore his ACL more than halfway through the year. He missed the first half of last year and then he came in and finished that year. That's okay. Why you see there's that there, like that.
Okay. All right. So that makes more sense.
I have a second reason why, and I can give you, Steve. Other than the familiarity that Dave mentioned, how about Zach Ertz is actually a tight end, and Logan Thomas was a quarterback playing wide receiver pretending to be a tight end? So run block.
I think Zach Ertz clearly was more established and successful at the tight end position for a lot longer than Logan Thomas was. Don't get me wrong here. I'm almost just kind of arguing to the sake of arguing. I mean, because I wrote a salary cap column this week. For those who haven't read it, it's on thehawkside.com. And I actually said in that column, which was published before they signed Zach Ertz, that they were probably going to sign a mid-tier tight end. Mm-hmm. But lo and behold, they signed a mid-tier tight end. It just didn't look like that was a position that there was going to be enough free agent money left over for the or draft capital, rather, left over for them to find a big-time tight end. So this is the kind of guy they wanted. And the truth is, it saved them a couple million bucks.
Yeah.
I just don't think he's going to be substantially better necessarily, but they may break even for a little bit less money.
Here's my prediction, Steve, is I don't think he's necessarily going to be the tight end one.
Okay.
You know.
Who is?
I think that, you know, you bring in a Zach Ertz, maybe you draft somebody, maybe you're looking at one of these other free agents that we talked about earlier with tight ends. Zach Ertz would make a great number two to another veteran tight end. If they were to bring in somebody maybe somebody in their mid-20s instead.
Because none of these guys on the roster is going to be that person.
Oh, no. As much as we liked a lot of these guys and we were, like, high on a lot of their, like, potential.
I was never that high on any of them.
Well, some people were. I meant, you know, there were a lot of people who were high on Cole Turner.
I just meant there's no we, Kemosabe. That's what I meant.
Okay. That's fine. You could say you weren't, but plenty of people were hoping Cole Turner was going to be something. Who's the guy that they brought from, like, Chile or whatever?
Well, there's Sammy Reyes. Armani Rogers in Turcola. Yeah. Sammy Reyes is off the roster.
Yeah, he's right. Not there. But, I mean, every year there's a tight end like that they bring in who's, like, some freaky athletic guy, and they're like, this could be the guy, you know. People
he's
get
the
excited
next Rob Gronkowski.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I get it.
I just think the team kind of more or less broke even at a little bit less money. So in that regard, and if it helps that Ertz knows Cliff Kingsbury's offense much better, you know, yeah. I mean, he did spend 2 years in Arizona, a year and a half or whatever. I guess it was 2 years, 2.5 years. I was trying to say in Arizona, yeah. Then, you know, all the better.
And plus, to Alex's point, he is an efficient run blocker too. So he can actually give you a little more on the field than what Logan Thomas can give you in terms of the run game. So
it's just like a guy who's 33 and coming off major, major knee problems.
Yeah.
Isn't cause for celebration. I guess
I'm being cynical about it.
I know they've said $5 million contract. I'd be very surprised if much of that's guaranteed given that.
Well, it's going to be I mean, you don't sign a veteran like this without some guaranteed money, but, right. You know, were they going to guarantee all of it? We didn't even really know what it is. I mean, nobody seems to have the details of this thing. By the way, the reason they could sign him, just in case anybody's wondering, because the free agents period hasn't started, the reason is he was waived by Arizona at the end of November. So that's why they could sign him now, just to be clear.
Right. If they're waived before the end of the season, you can be signed.
Then they're available to sign, correct.
Yeah.
So that's what happened to him.
Yeah, whereas with some of these other players, like the guys that Washington's released, like Thomas, Leno, and we'll get to Nick Gates too, they can't do anything yet, those guys.
Yeah.
So Nick Gates, of course, is the last guy that they've let go. Just another great signing by Ron Rivera to help the O-line.
Yeah, that was pretty much a train wreck.
Yeah.
From day one.
What was it? Maybe 6 weeks in, they started
something like that. He played for a couple games, and they realized what a horrible mistake it was, and they got him out of there.
But he looks so cool with the long hair. That's, you know.
The question, of course, is who's going to replace Nick Gates?
Well, at least they drafted a center last year, who might be able to play center.
Ricky Stromberg is who you're going to rest your
Yeah.
Hopes on.
I mean, it's they have a body. That's more than you can say about the left tackle position.
They currently have a body. I don't know if they do, though. We don't know anything about Ricky Strong.
Oh, no.
Ricky Stromberg did not play when they put Nick Gates on the bench. Remember this.
Right.
All I know is I think their center position is going to be filled by free agency, either by Connor Williams or who the Bills just recently released in Morse, whatever.
I'm going with you. That's what I think. I don't think they're going to. Last year's draft was a catastrophe.
Sure.
I mean, what a horrible, the worst draft, you know, you can remember, even also, by Washington standards.
Even though I'm the one who mentioned it, let's be clear. Ron Rivera and company knew less about offensive line than I do. They made worse decisions every year. Every year, they made a decision that made the line worse.
I mean, I think you're being a bit hyperbolic here, but I mean,
not that much.
No, I think he's absolutely correct. The moves he made were so atrocious. We talked about this. I mean, you bring in an OC that's pass heavy with basically a rookie quarterback, and you give him that offensive line. Yeah. I mean,
but
I have no idea what the strategy there was.
I will
even
never
past that. Name one move they made in each in any offseason that made a position better on the line.
Oh,
they
there's
didn't.
None. No, there's none.
Yeah, they went from Trent Williams to Leno. That was, and they kind of lucked into Leno.
I will never ever get over, even with my much degraded fandom, I will never get over drafting Jartavius Martin over Cody Mosh. I will never get over that.
Yep. That was a staff that didn't know how to analyze line.
I think I saw a headline tonight that Ron has been hired by NFL Network or ESPN or somewhere.
He's going to be a color commentary guy for ESPN.
His coaching career is over, ladies and gentlemen.
I just wonder, you know, who's going to be excited to hear Ron, you know, kind of awe-shucksing his way on every. Well, I'll tell you what, this guy here is pretty good, but the guy on the other side is pretty good, too. So you got two pretty good guys, and they're both going to do pretty good. There's Ron's analyst for everything.
Ron Milquetoast Rivera.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't see it working out for him long term. I think it's just a pity gig for a year.
Pity gig. Well, it depends on whether somebody wants to hire him again, whether he even wants a job. I mean, he's recovering from cancer, you know.
Maybe that's partly true, but also he's got 1 year on his deal with Washington. So if he doesn't want to probably take a head coaching job and lose the $10 million or whatever he's getting from that.
I mean, unless somebody offered him more, which who would be crazy enough to do that?
Right. Exactly. So Nick Gates, you know, here's what I will say. I have no ill will towards any of these guys.
Of course not.
Charles Leno, great guy from what everyone.
Great guy, family man, decent person. I wish him the best of luck for sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'll tell you what, his wife looks like she's a fantastic baker. Some of the things that she puts out on the.
How in the world do you know that?
Because some of the things she puts on Twitter. I mean, it's like some of the food choices that she puts out there, she makes and she cooks and everything. I'm just like, I just want to reach for the phone and grab it. I'm a food guy. I love food, Steve.
Leno is very active and she engaged with fans in a very positive way.
Yeah, she did. Absolutely. Yes. Yeah. She was great.
Maybe we can get her on the show and have her talk about what it's like to see your husband cut.
Actually, she probably had fun with it because that's the one thing she seems like she has a great sense of humor.
Do you think she could get my sarcasm?
I think she would, actually. I think she would, actually, yes.
All right.
Yeah.
I don't know, dude.
They have like 15 kids. Like, I don't think she has time to do anything.
To waste the 30 minutes for a ridiculous interview.
Hey, guys, do it for fun once in a while. That's all I'd say.
It took me a moment to absorb what you just said. Can we please erase that and just forget Alex even said it? My God, let's leave him alone, okay? I just couldn't believe that it didn't soak in because it was just so like Alex, you know.
That's a classic line. I think I stole that from Groucho.
I don't know, but please let's never ever go there.
I'm 99% sure that's a Groucho Marx joke that I stole. That's 100 years old. So.
Were you alive when Groucho Marx was performing?
No, but I've heard his stuff on radio and things. Yeah, so, you know, I'm going to say it's Groucho.
That's the title of the Groucho Marx. Of Groucho Marx and men.
So, all in all, the team has, with all those moves, they added a couple million, right? They added about $13 million, I think, because Gates was a wash, but okay, well,
let's just go over this real fast. Yeah. So I'll go over salary. It was my annual salary cap weekend, which is misery.
So you've got a fresh
me.
One.
Yeah, yeah. So every year I have to transition from the year before to the new year and update all the numbers, and it takes me an entire weekend to do it. And so that was this weekend. And so now where they are is this. Salary cap, $255 million. The adjusted salary cap for Washington is $267.5 million mm-hmm. because they had $12 million, roughly about $12 million in rollover space. There's 47 players on the roster right now, and if you want to count Shaka Toney, who technically is signed but suspended, that's 48. They're right. still paying for him. All those active players are about $143 million combined cap it for 2024. Throw in, however, about $27 million in dead cap space, and I had to guess the number for Logan Thomas, so it could be a little off, but it's in that ballpark. So that puts you then at about $171 million, okay? So then that would put you at about $96 million free. However, then you got to throw in the rookies.
Right.
And now you don't pay for the rookies until later, until you sign them. But that is at about $14 million total under the rule of 51. Yeah. And so then that puts you at about $82 million free. And so then you throw in the concept of we need a little bit of money in a bank account. And so last year, count the rollover space as that, because Washington's a hover around that space. So let's throw another 12 in. So what that puts you at is realistically, you've got about $70 million to play with.
Yeah.
You could play a game and kind of, you know, pay down the credit card a little later if you wanted to. And, you know, you could sign players that go over the rookie cap, you know, allocation, and then just cut players later if you want. But just think $70 million. That is the range that Washington has to play with. Right. So that there's your salary cap.
And the one thing we always, I mean, and it's very hard to do the second layer of math, but you have to spend a certain amount this year. Like
the NFL doesn't seem to be that concerned about it.
It's more of a players union thing that
it's
that,
well, it is definitely a CBA thing is what it is, but there have been teams that have like skirted around that and nobody seems to notice or care about it too much. Yeah. And it's also, I think there's a multiple year thing. I'd have to go back and look. It's not just as simple as like there's a floor period. It's not that simple.
No. It's every 3 years you have to spend something like 85% of the salary cap.
Yeah, it's something like that. So yeah. What people need to understand here, without getting too into depth, think $70 million. That is a rough ballpark of what the team has to spend this year.
Right, but just guesstimating, they have to probably spend half that, if not more. Just
they're going to spend it. I mean, they're not going to not spend it. I mean, they'd be crazy not to not spend the money.
Yeah, so that's where they're going to be salary cap wise. One guy who was hoping to get some of that money and didn't get franchise tag, Cam Curl, tweeted a cryptic little peace out sign after the franchise tag period came and
went. Why did Cam Curl think he's going to get a franchise tag?
Cam Curl's getting advice from his dad.
His dad is a bit out there.
Which is always a good idea.
Yeah. Yeah. I think, you know, look, love your kids. Don't get on Twitter and bitch about their money.
I like Cam Curl's a player. I think Washington would be foolish not to try to re-sign him. But if he legitimately thought he was going to get even a transition tag, that's not realistic.
Right. So the Bucks tagged their safety, and I think it was $17 million was the tag number, something around there.
Probably. It's in that ballpark, yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Look, Cam Curl is not an all-pro. He is not a league leader in any major category of, like,
he's not even a pro bowler. Forget all-pro. He's not even a pro bowler.
Right.
Yeah, he's nowhere near the level of Antoine Winfield.
Right.
He outkicked his coverage. You know, he absolutely was a seventh-round pick. Yeah. He's a solid NFL player. One of the few players drafted recently that, you know, that succeeded. Washington should keep him. But they do not need to pay that guy
if
that
Cam Curl thinks he's getting $17 million on the market.
Crazy.
And yeah, that's crazy. I like Cam Curl. He deserves to get a good payday. It's probably going to be in that $12, $10 million range for multiple years. But know where you are in the scope of strong safeties in the league. You're not top 10. You're in the middle somewhere, and you're good. But
okay,
you're
so Spotrac has his market value at $14 million average annual salary, which strikes me as way too high. I don't know if I agree with Spotrac's analysis.
Well, you got to remember, I think they've jacked a lot up because the salary cap increasing as much as it did.
Fair enough. And also remember, though, that average annual salary is not the same thing. People need to understand this.
Right.
Average annual salary is what agents use to brag about their contracts. What that is, right. You take the number, the total value of the contract, divide it by the number of years. That's what it is. The average NFL contract, average NFL 5-year contract is really a 3-year deal. It'll have 1 year guaranteed, the second year guaranteed for injury, and it'll have a signing bonus, and the rest of it is just junk. And, right. and they dump a lot of it at the end, at the 5th year that they'll never get to make the contract appear more than it is. And so right. that is it, what would happen.
If it's, I'm just going to use round numbers, if it was a 5-year, $50 million deal, the first year is going to only be like $5, $6 million, but it's all guaranteed.
Well, there'll be a signing bonus attached to it, and that's true. Kind of, you know, they'll get a lot of money up front. That's something you bargain with. But what will happen is the base salary will go up dramatically in, like, the 4th and 5th year, right. and everybody knows it's really a 3-year contract.
And by that point, all the bonus money's done, too. So
well, I mean, the bonus money gets spread out over the life of the contract.
Oh, right.
Okay, yeah. So it's not really that the bonus money's done. It's that the base salary gets so high –
right.
that they're just not going to keep you, and they know that.
Or they restructure you if you're good.
Or they'll restructure you, right.
Yeah. So, you know, look, I think Curl deserves to get paid. He deserves – if they're saying $14 million, okay, let's say that's the number over 5 years, you know, whatever that ends up being.
That's $60 million. $14 million, that's $60 million. So yeah. you throw in, like, 15 – you know, if you really want to pay him well, like $15 million – guarantee bonus. Is $15 million bonus signing yeah. bonus, something like that. You guarantee year one, you guarantee year two for injury, and right. have it become fully guaranteed at the start of the next league year, and that's all you do for him. But I mean, again, like you said, he's not an all pro. He's right. not a, you know, he's not a pro bowler. He's an average to slightly above average player. I didn't think he's 2023 was as good as his prior years.
I mean, well, I think that's true, but I also think he was set up to fail by not being played very well
ironic.
Or in the right position a lot.
Well, right now, the benefit Washington has right now with not putting a tag on them and playing and just staying away from that was with the recent releases of Poyer and Micah Hyde out of Buffalo. If they can't get a reasonable contract out of Cam Curl is not the safety either one of those two are. So now they can just shift right over to one of those two, give that top market value and get an upgrade to position and a guy that could be there for the next 4 or 5 years. So
that, I mean, that's true. But also then Cam Curl also needs to realize he is one guy in a market where he's probably not the top 4 safety right now. So he's not going to be getting the top
right.
contract.
He's definitely not.
Yeah. I mean, the way it usually goes with these position groups, right, is that top guy who gets the biggest contract signs day one, hour one, and then everyone else is starting to get a little less as you go down the line.
Right.
It doesn't grow with those.
Yeah.
So, you know, I hope they do bring him back. Even having said all that, I'd much rather have Cam Curl than not have Cam Curl in general.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you spent a draft pick on him. You hit a home run of a draft pick. Keep the guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. All right, so let's talk about some free agents. We were going to cover running backs and receivers in free agency this week. Let's start with receivers, just because I think, given that Washington has two kind of established receivers, it's a quicker conversation. They're going to let go Cam Curl in all likelihood. His contract, he's in that like voidable year thing now, right, Steve?
Did you say Cam Curl?
I'm sorry, not Cam Curl. Curtis Samuel. We were just talking about Cam. Yes. But they're going to, like, Curtis Samuel.
Well, the voidable year is not a real year, okay?
Yeah, yeah.
What that means is it's a salary cap trick that's on there to spread the hit, to spread the signing bonus out, but it automatically terminates. That's what a voidable year is. So he's not
right.
on the roster.
Right.
Or he won't be at the
all
beginning.
Opt out.
He's gone. Yeah. It's not an opt out. The contract automatically voids that last year. It's just a trick to spread out cap hits. Okay. So he's gone.
The team might bring in another receiver. Like, you know, given that we're talking about Cliff Kingsbury, it wouldn't shock me if they're like, well, we want a third good target. There are a lot of good, some big names out there in free agency. Odell Beckham will be available if you want to go down the crazy train route. Although he's mellowed out since he, you know.
We're going off the rails on the crazy train with that dude.
Yeah.
And he's 100. He's been, it seems like he's not actually, but it seems like he's been around forever. Dave, I mean, you're the one that looked at this. What do you think?
Yes. All right. For one, if they were to do, I know they wouldn't, but if they were to ever decide to walk away from McLaurin and use them to move to someone like KC or something like that, T. Higgins is a guy that I would absolutely love to see to come here to be, because he's got the prototypical size and, you know, he's got everything you need for a number one receiver, but that's not going to happen. I think McLaurin's safe anyways. The one guy that stands out the most is Gabe Davis from Buffalo. This is a guy who could play. He could play the X and the Z, but he could play the slot. He plays all over the field. He's got size that Curtis Samuels didn't really have, and he's a burner. He can break the field wide open down the seam, and if Cliff Kingsbury isn't going to feature a tight end in a classic way, this is the kind of guy right there you can see him kind of targeting, and that's a guy that I actually would like to see come in here, even over re-signing Curtis Samuels, to be honest with you.
I think that that's not a bad call. He's a career starter. Mm-hmm. He's put up mediocre, I would say, catch numbers, you know, in Buffalo. However, Buffalo's had a running quarterback, and they've had a star wide receiver, you know, on the other side. His catch percentage has been consistently in the mid-50s, which is not terrible and not great, but it's not terrible considering who he is. So I think that, you know, to come in and be like the third receiver or maybe the emergency backup to Jahan Dotson, who kind of fell off last year. Right. I mean, that's not a bad, I admire the call. It's not bad. Not a bad idea.
No, it's not bad at all. And, you know, kind of what, you know, the first thing you mentioned, he's a bigger guy. You know, I think one of the things that plagued this team last year was your top three receivers are essentially all the same player in terms of body type, in terms of largely skill set, even. If they are going to be active in free agency, my focus, if I were this team, would be look for guys who do different things. You know, you do need a 6'3", 6'4", receiver. You do need a true slot receiver. Neither McLaurin or Jahan Dotson are really slot guys, despite the fact that they're smaller, shiftier. They're good outside route runners. That's what their skill is. Looking for guys who can do other things would really help them.
I do think that they need a bigger receiver.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, they definitely do. I mean, they haven't had a big wide receiver for a while, you know, at least one that they trust that, you know, played and, you know, on a regular basis and all of that. They've had a couple that I liked, but they didn't ever get, like Cam Sims, I liked.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, but they didn't like him.
Cam Sims.
Yeah. They didn't like him, it seems like. So they do, you know, a guy who's 6'2 and a, you know, big dude, it's not a bad idea. I like the idea.
Yeah.
That's just a roster
construction thing, you know?
Now, if you wanted to go a little bit of a cheaper route, the guy who came in, I believe he originally came in for Baltimore originally. But he's coming out of Carolina now, Laviska Shenault. He's a burner. He's 6'1", 225. He hasn't exactly put up great numbers, but he's the kind of guy to where if you want to go a little bit cheaper route, he's stocky. He's got some good size. He's a slot guy. I mean, maybe you can get him in a cheaper route. Maybe he's a guy that can find something here if you want to. But Gabe Davis is the guy that probably tops my list, though, out of all that.
Good call.
Yeah. I think Gabe Davis is not a bad one. Another name I'll just mention, although he doesn't fit what I was talking about, would be Paris Campbell. He's tight with Terry McLaurin. I'm sure Terry seems like the guy who loves to have close friends around him, just from what we've seen. So I could see that kind of working well, and where there wouldn't be like ego, you know, receivers, egos get involved. That's always a concern when you have two good receivers bringing the third one. Oh, well, I'm not going to get my catches, that kind of thing.
I don't think that's a factor with those two, though.
I don't, but you want to make sure you're keeping that locker room in a good spot. That would be my one thinking. That's the only reason I mentioned him. What do you guys think about getting more veteran receivers? Just if you're going to have a rookie quarterback, getting guys with some more experience around them too.
I mean, at this point, Terry McLaurin is a veteran.
Well, I'm talking like 30 plus types instead of going for younger guys.
I mean, I don't think you necessarily need to go that route. You could. I mean, I'm not necessarily opposed to it given the right person. I'd be more interested in finding the guy who's not going to get hurt.
Sure.
You don't need a number one receiver. You have a number one receiver. So you just need a guy who can consistently be there, get open, catch the ball. I think you can find that in a guy who's a little younger and who has less of an injury risk. So if it were me, because they're kind of starting it, the roster's in newsflash, roster's in terrible shape. Ron Rivera did a horrible job, just generally speaking, on the roster. So they need a lot. And so I would be aiming younger if I were them.
And there's plenty of receivers in this draft, too, a ton of them.
Yeah, and hopefully they'll draft one. But in terms of, to answer, Alex's question, like, I wouldn't necessarily go the crazy train with somebody like Beckham. You know, why would you? And I know you're not advocating for him, but, I mean, that's old. And, I wouldn't bother.
No, I was just thinking, sometimes people like to have a lot of veterans around a young player. You know what I mean? So
I actually don't think there's not really a ton of veterans, like old 30 plus year old veterans, even available this year.
No. Beckham and Randall Cobb are really the two biggest names, I think, in that group.
And if you have to be nuts to bring in Beckham in a team that doesn't have a strong veteran core already, because you don't want to deal with that guy. Yeah.
Even though I think he has mellowed out, I still would be very cautious of it. There's that element with receivers, man. Like I said, you never know how those Eagles will hit.
Although, selfishly for the show, it might be good.
We could bring back our old friend, the kicking net.
Yeah, I know. That's what I was thinking. The kicking net might come back.
All right. Well, let's talk about running backs, because I think that's really the more interesting group. There's a couple big-name running backs who look like they're going to hit free agency this year. Derrick Henry, obviously, that's been a lot of talk about him on the market. Barkley didn't get tagged by the Giants, and so it sounds like he's going to test the free agent market too. But then you've got Austin Eckler, Tony Pollard. You got a bunch of guys there.
Dave, what do you think?
Well, I think a lot of people are going to focus on like Barkley and Derrick Henry. And myself, I'd probably avoid them. Josh Jacobs is a guy that I don't think the Raiders are going to ultimately let him walk. I think they re-sign him. Yeah, he'd be a really nice asset to the team. But the one player on here that stands out to me the most is DeAndre Swift. Mm-hmm. At 25 years old, this kid is an electric running back. He, in 2000... reception, 62 receptions in 2021 with Detroit. He has a career yards per average gain of 4.6 yards for rushing. He's a guy who can run inside. He can run outside. He's predominant outside runner. He's a patient runner. He's a running back, an actual running back, when he gets the ball in his hands. His biggest problem is that he outside of last year where he played in 16 games, He only started in more than four games once in his career. That was in 2022, and he's been often injured early in his career. But last year, I think Philadelphia really found the right formula for him in being a committee type of back, preserving his legs, and he was fresh down the stretch. If he's willing to take on that committee role with someone like a Brian Robinson Jr. or someone they may draft or something like that, I think he is a guy that can bring a dynamic aspect to this offense that Cliff Kingsbury is going to want. And he is a guy that kind of excites me the most out of all of that, because he's not going to cost you a ton. He's 25 years old. If he can stay healthy, I mean, you have a potential cornerstone for a running back going forward.
I mean, first of all, I think Chris Rodriguez is better than Brian Robinson, but let's put that aside. This is not a bad thought. It would have the added benefit of of Philadelphia losing a quality running back, you know, which would help Washington in the division and all that. I just fail to believe that the team would be stupid enough to sign 30-year-old Derrick Henry after he's been run over by a truck, you know, for every single year.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. And Saquon Barkley, no, injured, you know, fell off, right. Was great for 5 minutes, a year. You know, I don't want to minimize what he did, but he's not anything close to what he was. You know, Tony Pollard's out there. Again, you know, may hurt Dallas. You know, he ended up being Dallas' number one guy last year.
I look at Pollard and Swift very similarly on those. Yeah. I mean, they're better in a committee, and they can get you big plays, but you're not going to rely on them for 20 carries a game.
Right.
And Washington could have a committee. Right now they have two running backs, just for the record. They've got Robinson and Rodriguez.
Right.
Antonio Gibson is a free agent.
Yeah, probably going to walk.
So they need – they're going to sign two or three or four more of them for training camp, but the guys who really played, they'll probably have three of them, I would say, with two of them getting the majority of the more.
And both of those guys would be a good complement to what those two guys do. I mean, regardless of who you think's better, both Rodriguez and Robinson are similar kind of inside runners – you know, physical runners.
I think Tony Pollard kind of is that too, a little bit, but
he's much more of that. But I mean, he makes his big plays, you know, in outside runs. But I think Swift definitely would be a really good complement to that room.
And just to add, for all those people out there that look at the name Austin Ekeler, he's going to be available. The guy averages a 3.5 yards per carry average for his career. He is not a very good running back. Yeah. He's not a shifty running back. I mean, he's a guy who's going to get you almost right around 100 receptions every year, which is great.
Mm-hmm.
But he's not a running back. You need a running back. DeAndre Swift gives you that. Tony Pollard gives you that.
Yeah. I'm glad you pointed that out, because that's a good point. And I think we talked about that last year. And didn't we talk about, you know, at one point mention Austin Ekeler's So in terms of DeAndre Swift, Spotrac has him at $6.7 million average annual salary, which is doable given Washington's salary cap situation. And Pollard, give me 1 second here. They've got Pollard at $6.5 million, so about the same. So in terms of salary cap, they're kind of interchangeable.
The only other name I'll mention, the guy in Houston there, Devin Singletary, if he's a free agent, he's also a good quality, different type of guy. But
I have heard from just fans here in Houston that Houston is looking at Derrick Henry,
mm-hmm.
which is crazy, it seems. But that's, you know, so they, Houston may let, you know, may let their guy walk, is what I'm saying.
Well, that's kind of odd, because everything that I hear, obviously outside of Houston, is Barkley to Houston and Derrick Henry to Baltimore.
I'm not saying it's right. I'm just saying.
No, I get you.
I mean, it's just fan, just, you know, talk. That's
We're just all spouting rumors we're hearing.
Sure.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. But
regardless, would you guys be more in favor, and we'll end on this question, more in favor in spending big on a running back this offseason or an extra wide receiver? If you could pick one.
Running back.
I would go running back.
Okay. I think we're unanimous then. I would, if you're going to put like $10 million on one of these guys, give me a running back.
You know, in this case, because they have a quality, high quality starter.
They have a duo. Yeah.
Yeah. And they don't have that in the running back room.
Yeah. And frankly, you could find second tier, third tier receivers who are not going to cost you a whole lot in free agency and in the draft.
Right.
So, yeah. Yeah, it's an easy time to find good receivers. Don't overspend there.
Right.
So,
before we leave, Alex, I mean, do you want to talk about the private lives of anyone else?
No.
That was it? Just Leno?
Just Leno.
Okay.
We didn't even get into the details. You know.
Thankfully. Well, we got a few minutes, right?
Yeah. No. Time's up.
Yes. They made a tape, I hear.
What, did Matt Ioannidis tell you that?
How would he know? He was off the team, you know.
I don't know. Maybe he knows him. You don't know that. Yeah. I mean, you should know that.
It is a fraternity, they say.
Yeah. Because I don't know if you're on speaking terms with Matt anymore. So yeah, after when he dumped you.
Not for a long time. That should wrap up the show, guys. We need to get another Temple player just so Steve has new jokes.
That's okay. I know, it's getting old.
We can always trade for Hassan Reddick.
Yeah, there we go.
But it's the funny thing is people haven't listened to us for a couple of years, don't know what we're talking about. But
yeah, no, right. That's true. Steve has a running joke that Alex and Adonitis had a romantic relationship. There you go.
Yes, there you go.
All right, guys, we will talk to you all next week. Bye.
Later.